Today's scripture reading comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 11, beginning with verse 1. John chapter 11, beginning with verse 1. Hear now these words. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus. Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and you're going there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble, because they see the light of this world. But those who walk at night stumble, because the light is not in them. After saying this, he told them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him. The disciples said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will be all right. Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. Thomas, who is called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world. When she said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, the teacher is here and is calling for you. And when Mary heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with Mary in the house, consoling her, saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he open the eyes of the blind man and not get this man from dying? Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, already there is a stench, because he's been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took the stone away. And Jesus looked upward and said, Father, I thank you for having heard me. I know that you always hear me. But I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in the cloth. Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and seen what Jesus did, believed in him. My friends, it's the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This morning, I want to share with you a few thoughts on this Saint Sunday about Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. We might say these were Jesus' buddies in Bethany. Now, we know from Luke's gospel that Jesus would drop by their house for supper and eat. And I'm sure you remember one situation where Jesus was there in the living room, if you will, and Mary was listening to him teach, and Martha was in the kitchen rallying the pots and pans, and she got a little frustrated with her sister and came out and said, Lord, will you tell my sister come in the kitchen to help me? And Jesus said, Martha, Martha, Martha. Like the Brady Bunch. Martha, Martha, Martha. Quit worrying about the dishes. Those will be there. Come and join us. Focus on what's more important at the moment. And wasn't that Martha was a bad person, but sometimes that sense of being in control and make sure everything got done led her to missing things in life. And so we got Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, and these are all good Jewish names. Mary is just a Greek version of Miriam. Miriam, that's Moses' big sister, the one who protected Moses when he was a baby, and she was a prophetess. Okay, Martha, there's a reference to that in the book of Ruth. That was Naomi's second name. And then Lazarus, that's a Hebrew version of the name of Eleazar. Abraham's right-hand man. When Abraham needed something done, he would turn to Eleazar and say, Eleazar, I need this done. Or Eleazar, I need a wife for my son. Go find him one. And so these were three friends of Jesus living in Bethany, just 2 miles from Jerusalem. And they loved Jesus. And it says very plain that Jesus loved them. Now, I know you're thinking Jesus loves everybody, and that's true. But these are some of his friends. This is a different kind of love. This wasn't just agape love. This was Philadelphia love, brotherly love. These were friends. Well, Lazarus becomes very ill. The doctors can't do anything for him. So what did Mary and Martha think? They thought the same thing we would. Where's Jesus? Well, nobody knows. So there's no GPS, no texting, no Facebooking. Where is he? So I'm sure they sent out several folks out and said, go find Jesus and tell him his friend Lazarus is very ill. And so they're waiting, and the messenger comes back. Now put yourself in the position of Mary and Martha. There they are with Lazarus on his sick bed, and the messenger comes in and says, I found Jesus. And I told him, said, Lord, your friend Lazarus is very ill. And Jesus told me, this sickness has not come for the death of Lazarus, but it's come that the glory of the Lord may be revealed. Now, what would you think? You think, well, praise God. That means he'll be here any moment now, and lay hands on Lazarus, and Lazarus will be good as new. And then they wait. And they wait. And Lazarus is getting weaker and weaker and weaker. And they're thinking, where's Jesus at? And then they maybe wonder, like, if he couldn't get here in time, why doesn't he just heal Lazarus from a distance? Because we've heard stories about one time he talked to a Canaanite woman whose daughter was ill. And the Canaanites were enemies of the Jewish people. And yet Jesus told her, great is your faith. Go in peace. Your faith has healed your daughter. On their occasion, the centurion, a Roman centurion, in Jerusalem, Capernaum, asked for his healing touch upon his servant. And without even touching the servant, Jesus told the Capernaum centurion, go in peace. Because of your great faith, your servant has been healed. On another occasion, a nobleman from Cana, where he turned water into wine, came to Jesus on horseback and said, Lord, come quickly. My child is dying. And Jesus says, go home. And when he went home, they told him, said, the fever broke yesterday at 11 o'clock. And the man remembered how it was at 11 o'clock the day before. Jesus had said, go home. Your child has been healed. But that is not what happened. Lazarus dies and then is buried. Meanwhile, Jesus is with his disciples and says to them, we need to go back to Judea. And their first response is, now hold on, Master. The last time we were in Judea, you healed a blind man, and that led into a little sermon, and you about got all of us killed, and they got mad at you and tried to stone you. Let's not do that. And Jesus says, you know, there are 12 hours of daylight, and we got to walk in the daylight. You know, it's funny, right? We set the clocks back. No, daylight savings time. That was Jesus' way of saying, while there is opportunity to do the Lord's work, we got to take advantage of it. And then he tells them, our friend Lazarus is asleep. And our 12 buddies miss the point and says, well, Lord, if he's asleep, he'll wake up. He'll be okay. Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I was glad I was not there, so you may believe. But let us go to him. And I imagine they all kind of looked at each other like, are we really going to Bethany for a dead man? And old Thomas, Doubting Thomas, says, well, let's go also, and we may die with them. From his point of view, this is a suicide mission. We're going to go back and get ourselves in trouble. And so as they're getting towards Bethany, some folks see Jesus, recognize him, and they go to Bethany and they tell the sisters, Jesus is coming. He's coming. He's just outside the city limits. And so Martha gets up to have a little talk with Jesus. Now, Martha is a take charge type of person, and she has a few questions for Jesus. She's thinking, as many times you came by our house, and I fed you, and we took care of you, and gave you a place to spend the night, why are you showing up now when we needed you 4 days earlier? And so Martha goes out to meet him. And I don't think necessarily Martha was lost her faith, but I think she was a little irritated, and she had some questions, and she wanted those questions answered. You know, when we read the book of Psalms, there are psalms where the psalmist asks the Lord, how long ago, Lord? You know? And there is nothing wrong by asking the Lord, Lord, what's going on with this? You won't hurt his feelings. He's heard that lots of times. And so Martha meets Jesus and says, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But then she adds, but even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him. And so you see that conflict of reason and faith. Now, my brain tells me, if you've been here, my brother would not have died. And yet my faith says that even now, God can do something through you. And then Jesus speaks those words, And I'm so glad Martha challenged Jesus, because we needed to hear his answer. He said, your brother will rise again. Now, when we go to the funeral home, we tell folks all the time, you'll see your loved ones again in heaven. And so we talk about dying and going to heaven like it's the end of the story. For the Jews and those early Christians, they didn't focus on heaven. They focused on what came after heaven, resurrection. When God would bring everyone to life, both the wicked and evil, the wicked to be punished and the good to be rewarded. And so Jesus says, your brother will rise again. And Martha pushes back on that because she thinks that's not really a good enough answer. And she's like, yes, Lord, I know he'll rise again on the resurrection, on the last day. Of course he'll rise. He'll rise the same time I rise. You know, that's not really helping right here and right now. And then what does Jesus say to her? I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? You know, a little while ago, Macy led us into the Apostles' Creed, and we said out loud that we believe in the resurrection and the life everlasting. Are those just words on the page? Or are those words written on our hearts? Do we really believe that? Or in the end of the day, do we just kind of believe, well, no, they went somewhere, and maybe we'll see them again. I don't know. That won't work. We need to have this faith Jesus talked about, believing in Jesus, that through his resurrection, we all being resurrected and live again. And so he asked Martha, do you believe this? And I don't think Martha fully understood the question, but I think she did her best to answer it. She said, yes, Lord, I believe you are the Messiah. You're the Messiah the scriptures talked about. You are the Son of God. Now, I doubt she had the same understanding we had, because we've got the full New Testament. But she understood that there was some unique relationship between Jesus and the Heavenly Father. And she said, you're the one coming into the world. And so Martha, I think, is a little confused. Like, he's up to something, but I can't figure out what it is. And then in one of those beautiful human stories I love, where she goes and she tells Mary, the teacher is here and is calling for you. Now notice it did not say Jesus called for Mary. I don't know whether author John left that out, or did Martha tell a little white lie to get Mary out of the house? I remember back when I was at Clemson State, my second year there, my last year, and it was I had a world history class. And one of my classmates, he was something of a class clown. He was a real fun guy, but sometimes he didn't know when to turn it off. And so one day in history class, the history professor lost his cool and called him out in front of all the students and told him straight up he's going to kick him out. Well, needless to say, that did not endear my friend, the class clown, to the professor, so there was some bad blood. Well, sometime later that same semester, just in the fall semester, another friend of mine, who was those two were really good buddies, was on the phone talking to him for class. And so he said, here, talk to Tim. So I said, where are you at? He said, well, he was at the hospital. He had some major surgery, okay? And so we're chit-chatting, and the professor came in, and he was unpacking his suitcase, getting ready for his lecture, and set up his little projector, you know, that old school projector they had back then. And I had an idea. I told a little white lie, and I said, Aaron, I said, the professor wants to talk to you. He does? I said, yeah, he wants to see how you're doing. Well, yeah, man, boom on. And so I covered the phone up, walked to the professor, and I thought, I hope this works. And I said, Professor so-and-so. He said, yeah, Tim. I said, Aaron's on the phone. He wants to talk to you. He does? I said, yes. He says, well, okay. And so he,
And I took a deep breath. I thought, this could really blow up my face very quickly, right? And he says, Aaron, I can't. It's a rewrite. How come you're not in class? I'm in the hospital. Oh. Well, you're not going to let a little thing like that make you miss my lecture, are you? And he laughed, and they laughed, and they got chit-chat, and they talked for about 4 or 5 minutes. And he said, well, I hope you get feeling better. I'll see you soon, you know. And they hung up. And after that, they were back on good terms again. And I was over there during the whole time going, you know, because I'm afraid he might figure it out. I pulled a fast one. Well, I think Martha did something similar. I think she pulled a fast one on Mary. So she tells Mary, Mary, the teacher is here. I want to talk to you. And Martha's plan was, well, Mary would go and talk to Jesus, and they'll talk one-on-one. Only problem was her plan didn't work out too well, at least for her. It worked out great for us, because Mary jumps up like a jackrabbit and takes off running. When she does, all her Jewish buddies from Jerusalem thinks, bless her heart, she's going to the tomb to mourn. We'll go along with her. And so Martha's eyes got this big when there goes Mary, and here goes all these Jewish people down the street to find Jesus outside the city limits. Now, Mary has a big heart, and when she finds Jesus, she falls at his feet. Every time we see Mary, she's always at Jesus' feet. She's at his feet listening to him in Luke's gospel. Here, she's at his feet mourning and weeping. And then a few weeks later, right before Palm Sunday, she's at his feet anointing him with oil and perfumes and such. And she asks him the same question her big sister asked. Yeah. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And it says when Jesus saw her weeping and saw the Jews with her weeping, he was greatly disturbed in his spirit and moved. No, another word for that is he was angry. He was upset. And he was upset with them or Mary or Martha. He was the Lord of life. And he was upset how death, with a capital D, had brought so much pain and hurt upon his friends and their community. He was angry that Lazarus was not there with his sisters. As he said, ask them a question. Where have you laid him? And they said, Lord, come and see. And then Jesus weeps. Now, in his humanity, seeing his friends hurt, and he wept. I mean, he knew Lazarus was coming out in a few moments. But, you know, when you love folks, when you see them hurt, it makes you hurt, doesn't it? And some of the Jewish people said, look how he loved him. And then others wonder, well, that's strange. Back in chapter 9, around Hanukkah, he healed a man born blind. Could he not have kept his friend from dying? You know, and sometimes we don't know why the Lord does what he does. Why does he heal a man born blind in one chapter and then let his friend die in the third chapter? And my friends, only God knows that. All we know is that in the end, it's all for God's glory. So Jesus comes up to the tomb. He is greatly disturbed. He gives an order. Take away the stone. And Martha, 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 Miss Pragmat, Lord, don't do that. He's been dead for 4 days, and the body is decomposing. No, the King James Version is, the body stinketh. Okay? No. I mean, she's back to practical Martha here. And Jesus turns to her and says, Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? And so then the men take the stone, move it away. And then Jesus looked upward and said, Father, I thank you. You know, we're in November, the season of Thanksgiving. And here's a beautiful example of giving thanks. Jesus gave thanks even before his prayer got answered. Father, thank you for having heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me. You see, this miracle was not just for Lazarus, and this wasn't for Mary and Martha. It was for that entire audience witnessing this. And it's for us today that we may be comforted by these words. And then when he said this, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And then Lazarus comes out. Isn't it interesting how the Apostle Paul tells us that on the resurrection morning, how the archangel with a loud shout and the dead in Christ will rise? May on that last day the angel will say, Children of God, come forth. And at his command, all God's children will rise from the dead, just like old Lazarus did. And so here comes Lazarus, and he's bound. The grave clothes are on him. Now, think about how when Jesus rose, he just went through his grave clothes. And they were still there. But Lazarus comes out, he's bound up. And Jesus turned to Mary and Martha and says, Unbind him and let him go. And many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and seen what Jesus did, believed in him. And then we had this poignant moment where I can imagine there was Mary, Martha, hugging Lazarus, and they're walking off with him. The crowd is in shock. And then there's Jesus by himself staying at that tomb. And what is he thinking? He's thinking, in a few more weeks, it'll be me. I'll be the one in this tomb. But as Lazarus was raised from the dead, I'll be resurrected from the dead. You see, Lazarus was raised from the dead, and it had to do it all over again sometime later. But Jesus, when you're resurrected, it's over. And this morning we come, not people of doom and gloom, not folks who mourn for our loved ones because we think we'll never see them again, but we come because, as we said earlier, we believe in the resurrection and the life. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And those who believe and live in me will never die. May we always keep that promise close to our hearts. And now at this time, I invite you to open your church hymnal to page 57 of that beautiful hymn, Amazing Grace.